very briefly as we begin. Rick already mentioned in his opening comments about the youth, the reason so many of the youth they appear to be absent, but they're actually overworking hard in the gym right now. They're preparing lunch for us. There's a pasta bar in the gym following the service today. So there is no cost for that, but it is a fundraiser for the youth. So your generosity when you go over and give them an offering, that's a blessing to them. So hope you can stay for that. That's following the service. Let me give you just a brief overview of the morning, or for what remains anyway, especially if this might be your first Sunday here, or maybe you're not regularly at Living Hope. We're in a season right now coming into the fall of the title we're using is Rethinking Church. And we've been, over the past 4 weeks, as a congregation, we've invited you to read one chapter from the book of Acts each day, the first 20 chapters, as we ask these questions. You know, what is the core DNA that God has put in the church? What are the things we see in the early church? Like, what are the foundational things? What were their motivations? Why did they do what they did? So we've been reading that together. We've been praying together. You've been invited to join us in praying every day for that God would renew our passions, God would reveal his heart for the church, and that God would release fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. It's the three prayers that are on the center screen behind me. We've encouraged you to be praying those every day for these 4 weeks, and keep praying them, by the way. Last Sunday, I gave an invitation for you to consider fasting leading up to our service this morning. And we sent out a reminder email on Friday. Again, no raise of hands, but I trust some of you were able to engage in that in a time of fasting in whatever way you chose to do that. So if you're hungry this morning, that's a good thing because of what Rick was saying, not just a physical hunger, but it's this sense of God, we want what you have for us. We want to hear from you. So I'm going to share a little bit this morning, just briefly, I promise, just briefly, but then we're going to give the rest of the morning to praying together. And basically, I'm going to invite you to just share some of the things that God has been stirring you to pray during these 4 weeks. And I'll talk more about that when we get to that point. So that's kind of an overview of what we're doing this morning. Let me draw attention, before I just share a few comments, to some inserts that are in your program. The first one is Reading Guide Part 2. Now, some of you might recognize this from, looks similar a little bit to the reading guide we gave you 4 weeks ago that took you through 4 weeks. We simply mapped out the book of Acts on 20 days. We also suggested some reading from Revelation over the weekends. But now we've reached the end of that. Now, listen, if you weren't able to complete that, I would say please work to push through that. If you have been able to get through that, then this is some additional reading. The idea behind this reading guide is that as you've been reading through Acts, Acts is like a narrative, a historic account of the early church. You see this is happening, and then this is happening, and then so-and-so goes here, and so-and-so goes there, and all these crazy things are going on, and the Spirit shows up, and the Spirit says this, and the people do this. That's the book of Acts. You get this snapshot of this period of history. And now what we want to do is kind of, not really double back, but as we look at other scriptures in the New Testament, primarily through the pen of Paul or Peter, John, to look at some of the things they were writing about the church at that time. What were the things they were encouraging the church in? What were the things they were challenging the church in? And what ways were they correcting the church? Again, all in this effort to get this, be painting this picture, understanding this picture of what the church was like at that time. You'll see them laid out. The reading guide is actually on the back of the insert. You'll see them laid out into five themes, starting with Jesus looks ahead to the church. What did Jesus say about the church while he was still with us? You know, the church officially didn't begin until the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had already ascended. But what was he saying even ahead of time? Those are your first 2 days of reading. And again, under each of these themes, you'll have a space to write, you know, key thoughts or observations. The other themes, the church, a loving family, a diverse body, a building temple, and the bride of Christ. So keep on reading. And this is all leading up to the other insert. This insert, I think yours is yellow. I got a pre-press copy that's white, but I think you have this yellow insert. This is basically our way of saying to you or asking you, what is God saying? As you've been reading, as you've been praying, what is God saying? What's he revealing to you? What's he stirring in you? So this is an opportunity, this simple sheet, and I won't read through all the instructions on here, but you have basically five lines. We're asking you to identify, if you had to boil it down to five, and some of you may boil it down to one or two, that's fine. But we're going to ask you, if you have a long list, to try to boil it down to your top five, to write down, these are the things that I think made the early church who it was, or these are the things that was like at the heart of who they were. These are the things that motivated them. Now, here's what we would like you to do with this form once you fill it out, okay? Ideally, if you are part of a life group, we've already been in touch with your life group leaders, and they're going to be scheduling a time this month where you can get together and talk about what you're seeing and what God is impressing on you. So our suggestion would be write down your top two, three, four, five, whatever it is, take it along with you to your life group when you have that meeting and be able to share that. So yeah, that's the number one way. Number two, if you're not in a life group, we have scheduled two opportunities coming up in October, Thursday the 18th and Sunday the 21st. You'll see the times on here, where you can just get together with others who may join at one of those times to just be able to talk. And there's something about processing what you're hearing with other people. Someone will be there to record your thoughts. That's your second opportunity. Now, if you're unable to do either of those, if you're unable to share with your life group, if you're unable to come to one of these meetings, the next step then would be to, if you'd be willing to email your list along with any comments to the email on here, rethink@exploreLivingHope.com. That way you could write as much as you want, put it in an email to this email address, and they'll all be collected in one place. Or you can just fill this out and give it to us. That's probably our least preferable, because there's not a lot of room on here to write. We would, rather than just having your three or four things, we would like to hear a few sentences about what God is stirring in you. So does that make sense? Use this to kind of go back over your notes that you've been taking as you've been reading and try to identify what you think the core things are happening in the early church. Put them on here. Share them with your life group. Come to one of these discussion sessions. Email them to this email address, or at least fill them out on this paper. It's our way as leaders of wanting to hear from you. We want to give you every opportunity to communicate with us what you think God is saying. Okay, so that's the prayer guide for the next 2 weeks, which is going to be going on also as you're processing this and as you're getting ready to meet with your life group, and then the insert to help you start writing down some of those key things. What I wanted to share just very briefly this morning before we go into our prayer time, just as an encouragement, I was really encouraged by this. I read this, I don't remember where I read it, just recently, whether it was in Francis Chan's book or a devotional, I'm not sure. Our suggested reading for the first 4 weeks included weekend readings out of the book of Revelation. And it wasn't the hard part of Revelation, it was the little more understandable part of Revelation in the beginning, where Jesus writes letters to the churches. And there are seven letters written. Jesus dictates a letter through this vision that John is having to specific churches in the province of Asia. And he says clearly, make sure these letters are delivered to these churches. Jesus had things he wanted to say to them. So hopefully, if you've been able to keep up with the reading guide, you've been able to read through them. I noticed something that was really different about one of them, and I wanted to share that this morning. To lead into that, I'm sure you've noticed, either in this reading or maybe if you're familiar with reading these letters before, that every letter includes a promise. Do you remember that? Near the end, every letter includes a promise, such as this. To the church in Ephesus, Jesus said this, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. To the church in Smyrna, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. The church at Sardis, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." Those are a couple examples. I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about probably the most famous isn't the right word, but the church that probably gets about the most attention in the list for not good reasons. You know who I mean, right? The last of the seven, the letter that's written to the church in Laodicea. And my phone is ringing. Okay, enough of that. Laodicea, it's not a good letter. It's the only letter of the seven that Jesus writes, the only message of the seven that Jesus sends that has absolutely no praise in it. No, I like that you're doing this, or it's good that you're doing this. The churches fall into three categories. There are two churches that got all praise. Jesus did not point out any faults at all. There are four churches that Jesus said, I like this about you, and I am concerned about this. You really need to repent of this over here. It's like a mixed letter, has good and bad. But then there's one church, the church in Laodicea, that is not good. Jesus doesn't say anything good about them. At one point, he says, you know, I'm ready to just spit you out of my mouth. He uses this analogy of lukewarm water and how that's not satisfying to anyone. And he's likening this church to that. He still gives them a promise, though. He says, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And he goes on there just another sentence or so. But here is what strikes me about the letter to the church in Laodicea. And I want to encourage you with this morning. It was an encouragement to me. It's probably, at least, I think it's one of the most often quoted verses of those seven letters. We talk at times about Ephesus and forsaking their first love. That's familiar to most people. Without looking, does anybody recognize the reference Revelation 3:20? Is that a familiar reference to you, Revelation 3:20? Don't worry. When I begin saying it, you'll recognize it. Some of you will recognize it, probably. Jesus writes this in his letter. He says, behold. In other words, pay attention. Listen up. I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in, and I'll eat with him. We'll order some pizza. You know, we'll hang out. I will come in, I'll eat with him and he with me. I'm not exactly quoting that, but you recognize that verse? Here's what I was so encouraged by somebody pointing out in that. This is a church that you think Jesus is ready to just wipe off the map. Like, I'm done with you. Get out of my sight. You're messed up. You're wretched, poor, pitiful, blind, naked, and you don't even realize it. What he says is powerful in a couple ways. This word picture that he gives them of saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. With that word picture, he is positioning himself where? Inside the church or outside the church? He's kind of creating this word picture like, I'm on the outside here, folks. That's the bad news for the church. It had gotten that bad that Jesus felt like an outsider to this church. But the good news is, he was right on the other side of the door. He was, look, I'm here. Not only am I here, I want to be in there with you. I want to come in. Yes, you've got a whole list of problems. Your eyes are completely off of me. You're completely self-absorbed. You're completely just given to riches and all that stuff. But I'm right here, and I want to come in. I want to come in. Can any of you picture the painting? There's a famous painting. I'm sorry, I can't tell you the artist. Some of you probably know. But there's this picture of Jesus, and you'd probably recognize it if you saw it, of him standing sort of like this cottage type of thing in a porch light, and he's knocking on the door. I wonder how many of you know there's something unique about that painting, or there's an oddity. Some people actually thought it was an error in the painting. The door that he's knocking on is missing something. Does anybody know? Dottie, what's it missing? The doorknob. The painter, the artist, when he created this picture, he painted this door, like a picture, the entrance door to your house without a doorknob. That's kind of problematic, don't you think? But the artist was trying to capture this thought that Jesus said to them, if you open the door. If you open the door. It was almost like Jesus was saying, there's a door here that I can't open. Now, theologically, I'm not sure that I'd want to preach that, you know, that he couldn't open it, but he was saying, look, I'm outside of the church. I'm knocking. I want to come in. If you would just open the door. Just two things from that that I would apply this morning. You know, as we're going through this, I know that myself and the other elders, as they've been sharing, we've been beating up the American church a little bit. We've made some suggestions that the American church is just, in a lot of ways, displeasing to God compared to the church in some of the other parts of the world. I think that's true. That's just my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. Christ's opinion is what matters of this church or of the American church or of this church. And I look at Living Hope, and I'm probably harder on myself for this because I'm the pastor, and I'm like, man, is Living Hope, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we getting the job done? Is God pleased with us? And there's this burning question in me, and I hope it becomes a burning question in you. What if Jesus were to write us a letter? What if he were to write us a letter? What would it say? Like, I don't know, but that's kind of what this is all about. Jesus, we want to know what you say to us. But I take this comfort. Even if the letter says, Ron, you were the worst pastor in the history of the world, and this church is suffering under your leadership, or whatever, whatever the letter would say, I take comfort in knowing that Jesus is right there saying, man, but I want to be right in the middle. I want to be eating with you. I want to be fellowshipping with you. And so I just take comfort in that. Yeah, we've been pointing out some things. Well, we don't think the church is doing well in this. And don't worry, this discussion will go from the church in America to the church at Living Hope. That's phase two. When we start asking these questions, what does this mean? The things we're identifying in the early church, what does it mean here now? Like, what things are we currently doing that God is saying, that's not really pleasing to me. It's not really fruitful. It's kind of a waste of your energy. What would God say? So we're getting to that point. We're not quite there yet. We're really trying to mine the foundations of the church from the scriptures. But I take comfort in knowing that way more than me, a billion times more than me, a billion times more than you, Jesus Christ is for this church. He longs. To see this church be faithful and powerful and fruitful. So he is working with us, not against us, no matter where you feel we are in his journey. So that's the first thing. Second thing, just to make a practical, personal application, wherever you are this morning in your life, in your walk, in your circumstances, even if you feel like you've gotten to a place in your life where you've kind of left Jesus out in the cold, and you are certain that he has to be greatly disappointed with you. Even if that's where you are right now this morning, I just want you to receive this picture where Jesus says, look, I'm right here. I'm right on the other side of the door. All you have to do is open the door. Man, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be right there. Don't think that Jesus is like a million miles away because of your sin or because of your failures. He's not a million miles away. He is right there on the other side of the door, okay? Let's pray about that. Father, I just love this picture, and it was such an encouragement to me. I never really thought of it that way before, but when Jesus was saying to this group of believers in Laodicea, basically saying, look, you guys are messed up. You are totally off base in what you're doing, but I need you to know that I'm right here, and I want to come in, and I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. God, I pray that we as a church would be encouraged by that this morning. And I also pray that everyone in the room, God, I know we all have areas of our life where we probably start feeling like, oh man, I feel like I've left Jesus outside in the cold on that one. Whatever the area is, whatever the thing is, the issue, the sin, the failure, whatever it is, God, say to every one of us this morning, give us that picture of Jesus being right on the other side of the door, knocking on the door, and just longing and waiting for us to say, Jesus, I repent. I want you to come in. I want to make this right. I want to fellowship with you. I want to hear from you. I want you to minister to me. Father, I pray you would release that word to each of us here this morning, to each of us here. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's see, worship team, can I ask you to come up? I want to stay on that theme for just a moment. Did you get my text, Chris, about the song we're going to sing? Okay. We'll get to that in a moment, but just come up and start that instrumentally. I want to give an opportunity for this particular issue. When I said, if there's someone in the room who really is convinced that Jesus is on the outside right now, what I'd like to do as we begin our prayer time is just as the worship team begins to pray, Rhonda, can we go back to a worship light setting then when you get a chance? What I'd like to do, I'm going to invite you, if you would like this morning, if that's you, if you're saying like, man, that just hits me right between the eyes, like I feel like Jesus is on the outside, and I so much want him to come in. What I'm going to do now, we do this from time to time, is I'm just going to invite you to stand where you are, and then I'm just going to invite a few people around you just to pray for you. That's all. Either silently, out loud, doesn't matter. No one's going to have a microphone. So, just start praying. I just thought I wanted to give that opportunity on that particular issue, personal ministry. Do you simply want to stand and say this morning, Jesus, there is some area or multiple areas of my life where I feel you're on the outside, and I want that to change. We just want to pray for you. Go ahead, stand. If you would like that, I invite you to stand. Just see if there's anybody. Okay, I see one person back there, over there. And can I just invite maybe a few people in the area around them just to gather around them to pray? Brave thing to stand up at an invitation like that. I have a hunch, Lord, that many, if not most of us this morning, if we're being truthful, might identify at least some area in our life where we feel like, maybe I'm leaving Jesus out in the cold on that one. God, regardless, I pray you would just remind every one of us this morning how much you are for us. How much you love us, how much you have plans and purposes for us. And we can't undo that through walking on wrong roads or through making bad decisions or committing sins. That doesn't change the way you feel about us. Yes, maybe you're not in favor of choices we made. Maybe we've disappointed you along the way. Certainly we have. But your love for us doesn't change. And your word to us saying, I'm right here. I just want you to repent. I want you to turn to me. That word is consistent in your letters to the churches. The word is repent. If you point out something that's out of place, then you simply say repent. And that's your word for us this morning. So God, I pray for these individuals that stood up and for all of us. God, just remind us that you are for us. You are for us. And you're just waiting. You're just waiting, God. So we're gonna transition now into just a time of prayer for the rest of the morning. And I think, as I mentioned in the email that went out on Friday, hopefully a good number of you have been able to engage in this process of reading the Word and praying. And again, the prayers that we wrote in the prayer guide are behind me on the center screen. This prayer of renew our passion for Jesus. That goes on to say, and his church, and compassion for the lost around me. Reveal your foundations for the church, and release a fresh wind of your spirit. What I'm curious about is, what has God been stirring you to pray in these veins, in these themes? So the invitation is simple this morning. If you would like to just come and just pray and share with us as you pray some of the things that God has put on your heart to pray, to be asking for on this journey. If you have a scripture, either a scripture from the reading in Acts, or another scripture that God has impressed you with in your prayer time or in your reading, feel free to share that as well. We love seeing prayer and scripture integrated. They go so well together, right? I'm gonna stop talking. We're actually gonna transition now with a worship song. We're gonna go back into the worship song that we ended the morning with. So I invite you to stand for this. You don't have to remain standing then, but let's just re-engage in worship. And then the microphone will be up here for anyone who would like to share either a word or prayer that you've been praying through this time. Okay, let's stand.
You are worthy of it all. are all things. You deserve the glory.
May or may not be someone standing up here praying into the microphone at various times, but I encourage you, don't go into spectator mode now, where you just kind of sit and watch, oh, I wonder who will come up, I wonder what they'll say. Let's pray together. Be praying where you are, be praying what God prompts you to pray. So let's let the incense arise from this place. Now, for some of you, God may prompt you to come up and pray in the microphone, that's great. But let's just devote this remaining time here we have this morning to prayer, to letting incense arise in this place. So I'll be here, we're here with a microphone. If you want to come front to pray, great. If you want me to come to you, just raise your hand so I can see you and I can bring the microphone your way. Father, we want our incense to be rising to you in this time this morning. Listening for your voice, seeking you, seeking your face, God.
We've been working through Acts, there's a scripture that just stood out to me, and I couldn't get beyond it for a long time. I'm simply going to read it, Acts 2:42. They were continually, and that word continually, just, it was almost like stop and just seal it, just pause about that, continually. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that we would, as a body, that we would remember the Word. Remember the Word. I just pray that the Word of God would be fresh in our lives every day. That we would have just as we eat meals, we would have that fresh manna every day. And that we would encourage people and say, look, this is what God is telling me. This is what God spoke to me today. It's fresh. It's just so good. Bread that has mold and it looks weird colors, it's no longer good, but we want the fresh bread of life every day as we meet with you, Lord Jesus, and help us to set aside time to do that, just as the beginning church. And then, Father, we just pray for relationships. That's a fellowship. Help us to just encourage each other every time that we have, whether it be a phone call, email, just a word of encouragement, because everyone is valuable to you. And so I pray that our relationships with each other would increase to a deeper level, as well as our relationship with you. And then, Lord, we ask that, that a lot happens around food and the breaking of bread, communion. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us. Thank you for how you were broken for us, how you saw us and our need and said, you're worth it all. You're worth it all. I'll go to the cross for you. And you can put your name in there and say, thank you, Jesus. And then finally, Lord, remind us as a body the value of prayer. Not just to pray when we're in desperate need, but to pray prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of adoration, prayers of just simply confession and repentance. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you would take us as a body to a deeper level of our relationship with you. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for our unbelief. We believe, and you are able, Lord. And so we say thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing.
Church was. Help us not to be passive. Give us the excitement and the passion like a child with a new toy. In Jesus' name.
Bunker's Concordance, it talks about the Church of Laodicea was a lukewarm church. And I feel that that's what the church is today. But the Lord is giving us encouragement through these people that are here and our pastor and his family. It says here in chapter 3, verse 20 to 22, that Christ was shut out. The church had ousted their Savior and Lord. He was not even missed by the worldly wise group. He therefore appears on the outside, knocking on the doors of individuals' hearts, waiting for them to receive him and to enter into fellowship with him. To the overcomer is promised the right to sit with Christ on his own throne in the coming kingdom. And that's what he's saying to the body of Christ right now. Come as you are. He loves you so much. Even in our ugliness, in our sin, he washes us. His blood washes us whiter than snow. So remember, even the things that we hear that sound so terrible in the Bible, he turns around for his good and his glory in Jesus' name. reading through Acts, it talks a lot of times being in one accord, that the body was in one accord. There's at least 12 times in Acts from 1 to 20 that one accord has been recorded, that's in the Bible. And how do we become one accord? I mean, I surely, as most of you know, have my opinions on different things, but we really need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. And seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking the Lord's will, we will become in one accord. That we're not, you know, this is what I think, this is what they think, or whatever. And seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking for God's truth, so we can be in one accord. And being asked the book of the Church of Acts. So Lord, we just come to you, Lord God. We repent for desiring our own wills, Lord God, or what we want, Father in heaven. Lord, I just pray you just draw your body to seek your face, to seek your will, that as a body we can become one accord with you, Lord God. And being one accord, we can go and know what your desires, your heart cries, so we can go forth and build your church and be your disciples, Lord God. Lord, let us have repentant hearts and truly seek your face. We love you and we praise you and glorify you. In Jesus we pray.
Spirit led me a slightly different path than what you, most of your people have been doing. I've been reading through Acts before and in the middle of during this month, but God has led me to some other things. Like, and I feel that this passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 through 19 through 22, speaks on the middle thing. Where it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Pray, Lord Jesus, that we are guided by your Holy Spirit to realize that you are the cornerstone of the body of the church, and that we are to be your holy temple. We're to be priesthood, a royal priesthood, a royal generation, witnessing for you, serving you. And that there's no body, no person, no type of person that should be an outsider to the church. They should all be inclusive, as they were done at the beginning of the church, as it expanded through the different places that Jesus said they would expand. They did in exactly the same order that Jesus said. And just pray, Lord Jesus, that we are an open church and their hearts are built upon the foundation of those that have gone before and those that will come after us. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Last night I was thinking about today's service, what it might be like, what people might have on their heart. And I was laying on my left shoulder and it really hurt. And I said, God, you know, heal this. Your son died, the blood was shed. And I felt like he said to me, we're one body, And the pain you feel isn't necessarily your own pain, but it's a pain that's in the body. And he asked me a question, and I'm not really fond of God asking me questions because it means I don't know something and I have to go find it. He said, what do you do with your left shoulder? I couldn't think of anything. I mean, it's a part of the body. It's necessary. My arm operates by it, but not my shoulder. So as usual, I said, God, I'm not really sure what you're driving at here. What are you trying to say? He said, think about it. What happens with your left shoulder? And I was lost. And I was just like, all I could do is wait. He said, David, your left shoulder, that's where you hold your shield. And what happens somewhere in the body of Christ here today, somebody let their shield down. And one of those fiery darts that shield protects got in, and it hit home. And it's lodged in there. And I don't know how long ago this happened, and I don't know how many of us have this. But you've been praying and praying and praying for God to relieve the pain, and he's saying until you pull that dart out, there's no way the pain can go away. And it's reached a place where you can't even pull it out yourself. And God the Father is saying, now I will come if you will open that door, and I will pull that dart. And from there, the ability for healing to come will be provided. I really believe a great deal of the future of Living Hope is not dependent on our leadership at all. It's dependent on the body of Christ and whether or not they're willing to respond to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And I believe Holy Spirit is here today, right now, and he's saying, I want to pull that dart. I want to remove the cause of the poison that keeps pouring in that you don't seem to be able to get healing for. And when that dart is removed, and we can put the shield of faith back in place, then the healing will come. I think the consensus here among the two of us, if that's you, if there's just something that it just hurts, and pardon my phrasing, but it hurts like hell, because that's what it is. It's hell. And you just cannot get over that. It just won't come. It doesn't matter how you plead and beg with God. Please come forward. Let God pull that dart. I'll just wait a little bit. And if there's a response or not, I'll finish in prayer.
I think I have a piece to go with that. I do believe that when they put their shield down, that thing that entered in and pierced was hopelessness. Was a sense of what's the use? I can't do this. Utter hopelessness. And it's caused not only a pain, but a paralysis, a locking up of the arm, which would represent our works and our movement. And it's caused you to become paralyzed and you're stuck. That's what I have, hopelessness. So I even sense as we pray over it, to pray over hopelessness and that faith would arise. Mm-hmm. Courage.
Pray for you. We just wanted to test this just to see. So we're gonna pray over Denise as you pray. Is there anybody else? And look, I get it. God knows what's going on, even if you don't come to the front. But this is just an invitation. let's join together in prayer. Be joining. Dave is going to lead, but let's pray together. Go ahead, Dave.
Father God, we just come before you and we acknowledge that you are everything, that in you everything exists for you, everything exists for you, by you everything exists, and in you everything sustains all of life, and there is no other source of life. But Father, somehow in our body, a source of death has come upon us. But your Son paid the price for that death. On the cross he died, and his blood was shed. And in a most horrific way, he was beaten, and his blood poured out upon the earth so that we could stand here before you and the poison of the enemy could be removed from our souls. And so, Father, by the very blood that was shed, by the death on the cross that was died, where Christ died in my place, I ask, Father, that you give us the strength and the courage to open the door to what hurts the most. That your Holy Spirit would move. And that his gentle kindness would come forth inside of us. Lord, I ask that the pain that Christ suffered on the cross would replace the pain within us. Father, you yourself would come and stretch forth your hand and draw that poison out. Draw out that dart that just got through. Remove the source of death and destruction. With the healing hand of the Holy Spirit, that you would apply the blood of Christ to this wound. And Father, we just ask that that holy healing begin right now in Jesus' name.
Could just stay up here for a minute. Just ask the Lord if there was any word for you, and if anybody else has one, you can bring it to. But Denise, here's the deal. God wants you to realize how precious you are to him. The enemy has told you over and over that you're of little value, and that's a lie. That's a lie. So that God wants you to know how precious, you're such a precious daughter of his. He wants you to know that. Carla, can you give this girl an embrace? She needs an embrace. I'm not going to do it because I think it's... I don't even know your name. You're Chris's brother, right? And your name. The only thing I have for you, Mark, I have this sense that what we were praying over your nephew, Drew, this morning, this passage from Joshua, of be strong and courageous, that's also a word for you this morning. Like, be strong and courageous. The thing that's partnered with our strength and courage is God's strength. We're never on it alone, but we need to, and you prayed for that, I believe, for that courage to rise up. So I believe that's God's word for you this morning. Just be strong and courageous. God is there to come alongside of you and give you everything you need. Okay? And Cindy, I just have this picture, you know, like when you're in a thick woods, and you're just, everywhere is like thistles and briars, and you're just convinced you're never going to get through it. There's an edge to the woods out there, and you're approaching it. I don't know what that means in terms of time or anything like that, but you're approaching that point where all of that stuff is going to break away, and you're going to enter this beautiful place. So just don't give up. That's what I'm saying, okay? Just don't give up. Personally, how God gave her a dream that tied into some of that. So, hey, if you have a word for any one of those individuals, please feel free to share it with them at the end of the service. Or,
have to bear with me because I get a little nervous when I speak in front of people. So, first off, I just wanted to say to everyone that was up here, I heard something in the past week. I heard somebody say something that really kind of stuck with me. And they were talking about guilt and how it can eat us up. And they said something that I don't think I've ever heard it said this way before. And that was that they said, could it be that guilt is the desire to be forgiven? And as Christians, we've been forgiven. We've already been forgiven, and that's why guilt should not eat us alive. Guilt has no place in our hearts because God's already forgiven us. Sometimes there's additional restoration, forgiveness from others that we still need, but God's already forgiven us, and I just want to give you that encouragement if that's what you're dealing with, that God's already forgiven you. So don't let that beat you down. Don't let Satan lie to you and tell you that you still need forgiveness, that you need to still feel bad for this thing, that whatever it is that you've done or that you've been hit with or that you struggle with, because the forgiveness is already there. And then the other thing I want to share was just, as I've been going over the last several weeks here, the word that God's continued to bring to my mind is submission. And that's an interesting word because I feel like people in Acts, when you read through it, are so bold and so doing so much, and Holy Spirit's doing all this stuff, and they're not even surprised by it. They're like, oh yeah, that's normal. It's normal to see a guy fall out of a window and be raised back to life. There's a book I've been reading by Ravi Zacharias, and it's kind of been very impactful in my life. And one of the things he says is that the great tragedy of mankind is that we desire to have power over the things around us. We desire to have control. We desire to not let go of those things because we feel out of control and it's scary. And ultimately what we desire is to be God. And yet, God has ultimate power, ultimate authority, and the ability to control everything if he wants to. He doesn't, but he could if he wanted to. And yet all he wants is us. And I feel like that's so much what we struggle with. And he said to me earlier when Ron invited anyone who felt like God was knocking on their hearts that he wanted to do something, and they knew he was there to stand up. And it was like God said to me, every single one of you should be standing up because you're not perfect. None of us are perfect. And the fact is that verse of Revelation, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If any of you hears my voice, that's the first piece of it, is to hear him there. A lot of us hear him there. We hear him, we hear God. We know when he's convicting us. We know when he wants to do something. We hear it. Sometimes we don't want to listen, but we hear it. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't say, just hear me, and that's good enough. It says, then open the door. It requires action on our parts to open the door. And this is, it's not a universal, hey, if the church says, hey, the door's open, come on in, God, he's going to come in. No, it says, if any man hears my voice, anyone hears my voice, I will come in and dine with that person individually. And as we do that, as we give up control, as we say, okay, God, I don't need to be in control. This world has nothing to offer me. Absolutely nothing. We live in a day and age where we want more and more control. It used to be a simple example. You used to have to get up and change the channel on TV. Then they had remote control. Now you can just control it with your voice. Like it's, we just want more and more and more control. And God says, let go. The more you let go, the more control, the more you're going to see how much I am in control. And you're not going to care about controlling the things around you because those things don't matter. All that matters is heaven. All that matters is me. And we're just so concerned about being in control and that we've got to stop. We've got to let go of that. And that's the only way God's going to do anything in our individual lives or in us as a church is if we just let go. There's an old saying, let go and let God, you know, but it's the truth of the matter is we just, I don't have an answer for it. I don't know how we just do that because it's hard. It's hard to let go. It is really hard. It's scary, but God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When we realize we can't handle it, when we realize we can't do it, our tendency is to go, I'm going to try more and more and more to have control of it. And the reality is that's what Satan did. That's what Satan does. He knows he's defeated, and he just tries to control it more and more and more. He fights back more and more. And that's the tendency of sin in us, to say, I can't control it. If I try a little bit harder, if I push a little bit more, I can get control. No, you can't. You'll never have control. The only way you will have control is by letting go and letting God have control. And that's just what he's been challenging me with a lot. I've been realizing more and more some of the idols that I've put in my life that I would never even consider idols. Anything that takes priority over God. And we look at even like the Acts and how they spent time, it says they were devoted to spending time together daily. That requires giving up control. It requires not being able to do necessarily all the things you want to do. And it says that they gave of themselves, you know, and if those who had a lot gave to those who had a little. I'm not saying that we need to mimic exactly the way that the first church looked, because it was a different day and age, but the point was that the things of that earth had no value to them. It didn't matter to them to give up their time or to give up their money or whatever it was, because it had no value. The only thing that had value was God. And until we are able to give up control, we will never be able to see the Holy Spirit moving the way he wants to move. And so that's what he's been challenging me with, and I just wanted to share with you guys. Prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just, God, I pray for individual revelation for each and every person in here, God. Lord, wherever you are knocking on their hearts, wherever you are knocking on the door, whatever area it is, God, I don't know. But I know that you're knocking because you say you're knocking. It's not like you're knocking on some of us. You don't say that. You say, I'm men staying at the door knocking. It's a universal statement, God. Father, as we let you in, God, I pray that you would give us the courage when we feel the urge to have control, to say, no, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, to stop and listen. Listen for your voice. Listen for your voice saying, I'm here, I got this. I got this. Give it to me. Stop. These things don't matter. Being able to give yourself or your family everything on this earth does not matter if they don't have me. They need more of me. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to let go of those things and to just see what you do and be amazed by what you do, God. I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves before you. And Lord, as we do, that your love would pour out, and that your love would cover a multitude of sins, God. Father, we just ask for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And as we draw closer to you, that your Holy Spirit would just move and would change and would begin to change us individually, and that as we change individually, that as a whole, we would begin to change and reflect you, that those around us, as you said, Lord, as they in Acts, Lord, as they acted as one, as they were in tune with your Holy Spirit, and they acted as one, God, Lord, that's you added to the numbers daily. There was nothing they had to do. There was no acts they had to perform. There was no works they had to do. There was no Christian t-shirts they had to wear, God. Lord, you added to their numbers. Because those around them saw the light. They saw your light shine. They saw your love shine. They saw something that was different from anything that this world had to offer. And God, in this day and age where this world has so much to offer us, and yet nothing, I pray that as we begin to see how much you have to offer, that those around us would see it as well, and that we would see revival. I just pray that this week, Lord, and the upcoming year, Lord, especially as we come up on the end of this year and begin a new year, God, that you would just begin to more and more bring revival in individual lives and on a whole. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. All right. Well, thanks for your participation this morning. Continue to pray. Let's not allow the praying to end now because this official time has come to an end. Continue to pray. Continue to pray these things. Jesus, just renew this passion for you, for your church. Reveal those things we need to see and release a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. So thanks for being with us this morning. Thanks for participating. Thanks for praying. Again, if the Lord gives you any word of encouragement for any of those individuals, please feel free to, or please see that you communicate that with them. If you have been fasting, I have an enticing offer for you, and that is there is food right down that hallway through the classroom wing. The youth have worked hard preparing a pasta bar. They would love to have you join them. So if you're at all able, please stick around, have lunch with us, and continue to pray, continue to ask God this thing of, you know, what are you saying to the church? There's this phrase that repeats in these letters to the churches that Jesus dictates in Revelation, and the phrase is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And that's our prayer. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and to this church. So, Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for each person here, God, and thank you for these words that you've released this morning, these prayers that you've released. God, we lift them to you as our incense. We pray that it be a pleasing fragrance to you. And God, we just thank you for your goodness. And as has been mentioned already several times this morning, forgiveness is dealt with at the cross of Christ. So if we've received Jesus, we are forgiven. We just need to walk in that. God, if there's anyone here that hasn't received Jesus as their Savior, God, I pray that today would be the day. We'd love to talk to them about that. And God, at this moment, also I ask your blessing on the meal. I thank you for the hard work that's gone into preparing it. I pray that you would bless our fellowship as we gather there and guide us through our day and the week ahead. Maybe we walk in that surrender, that submission that Paul talked about. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you're going over to the meal, just head on over. They'll give you instructions over there, but you can just go ahead and get your food. And other than that, have an amazing day.